You would turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 18 and verse 1. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. Whether you're working for someone else at a paying job, or working for yourself in your own business, or working at home to take care of the business of daily life, a huge chunk of time is taken out. In 1 week's time, there's 168 hours, roughly a third of that. 56 hours is sleeping. Easily a third of that time is occupied with work and with tasks to be done. And in one way you think, well, man, sleeping, you can just let that happen, right? That just happens. But even in sleep, there's a place for glorifying the Lord. Psalm 132 says that I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will give no sleep to my eyes, no slumber to my eyelids, until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the Mighty One of Jacob. So there's a sense in whatever we do, we give God all the glory, even in our sleep. Look today at how our work is to glorify God. And in fact, the truth that the work we have is a gift from God to us and to our lives. Here in Acts chapter 18, verse 1, it says, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. We find here the scripture that Paul was a tent maker like Aquila and Priscilla. Paul had a good education. He had a top education at the time at the feet of Gamaliel in Jerusalem. It was natural for him to be in the role of a teacher, of a preacher, of a missionary, as a church planter. But he was somebody who was also willing to work with his hands. Just as we send missionaries and support them, rather than expecting them to be fed and housed by the people they go to, Paul had his own support system. He exaggerates in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 8, and he says, I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. He had help from other churches to support him while he was there in Corinth. Philippians 4:18 says, I have received from Epaphroditus, the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. The church of Philippi sent the money to support Paul's work where he was, and to see him through when he was in prison at the time, actually. Paul had income and support from other churches, but Paul also worked for his own support too. 1 Corinthians 4:12 says, we work hard with our own hands. 1 Thessalonians 2:9 says, surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. Paul, highly educated, was also a tent maker. He received help from other churches. He also worked with his own hands, making tents for his own support. And he also understood that a local church should support its own pastor. 1 Timothy 5:18 says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. With that background, what does the Bible say about work? We're going to look at four things that the Bible says about work that's important. As the title of the sermon says, one of the important things about work to understand is that it's a gift. It's a gift. Genesis 2:15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. This was before Adam and Eve sinned. This was before man fell from grace. It was a perfect world. There was no sin around. Yet God had work for the man to do. It's a gift from God. Don't know what it might be, but I believe God will have work for us in heaven too. Heaven's a perfect place, great place to be, presence of the Lord. But if the Garden of Eden was any indication, I think God's going to have tasks for us to do, work for us to do, and it's going to be good. It's going to be a gift from God. Because of sin, though, the gift becomes distorted. Just like we were made in the image of God, and when we sin, that gift from God becomes distorted. In Genesis 3, 17 and verse 19, God said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam and Eve sinned, and God pronounced a judgment upon them when it came to work. When it came to work. And my first church in Southern Illinois, I followed a pastor there of 18 years. His name was Bill Fow. I seem to recall he had some South Dakota background too. Whether he pastored a church there or not, I don't know. But I do remember one thing. Yeah, one of his sayings he liked to say was, I earn my living by the sweat of my jaw. So that's a pastor for you. Earn my living by the sweat of my jaw. Because of sin in the world, work can become tedious. A Gallup poll found out of American workers came up with that 49% were very satisfied with their jobs. 30% were somewhat satisfied. That's 79%. 9% were somewhat dissatisfied. 6% were very dissatisfied. Yet in that same poll, it found out that 60% described themselves as emotionally detached or disengaged from their work, and that 19% were miserable in their work. That's the sin side to this gift from God of work. And both sides of this are seen in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'd have you turn there in chapter 2, Ecclesiastes, after Psalms and Proverbs. And you get to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, in verse 22, and it talks about this. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 22, says, "What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days his work is pain and grief. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless." That's the downside, the sinful world side to work. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. That's the faith side, trusting in God to find satisfaction in his work. "This too, I see, is from the hand of God." It's a gift from God. "For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness, but to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after wind." Then in chapter 3, it goes on to speak about work. In verse 9, it says, "What does the worker gain from his toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on men," the negative side, the sinful side. "But," verse 11, "he has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his work. This is the gift of God." This is the gift of God. "I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will fear him." Our work here is a gift from God, yet it's still temporary. But God's work, what He does, is eternal. It lasts forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away from it. So what does the Bible say about work? First of all, it's a gift from God. The second thing about what the Bible says about work is that's why God's given us hands. Hands are all about work. Work involves hands. Not just even a desk jockey paper pusher using their mind and doing a lot of thinking at a desk job still has to use their hands somehow in writing or typing or some great thing like that. But there's great satisfaction when you work with your hands. If not at a paying job, then around the house. Be able to work with your hands because that involves visible, tangible results. I don't remember what year it was, how long ago it was, but I remember one Monday I went to work, spent time in prayer for the church, for other pastors, for family, for everything that I pray about. I spent time in study, reading and translating. I wrote down a few sermon notes even that Monday. And then I visited somebody who was in the hospital. And then I had a couple other great contacts with people with good things shared. So as far as being a day of work for a pastor, it was a premium day. It was a premium day. But then I went home and I went out and mowed the lawn. And I got to tell you, that gave me more satisfaction than anything else the rest of the day. I was using my hands, and it was real, and it was visible, it was tangible. What did Jesus do most of His life? We know from the Gospels, 3 years He spent teaching and healing, but for 18 years or more, He was a carpenter, construction worker of some kind. He was a workman with what? With His hands. With His hands. And there's no indication from the Bible that all those years of work, of time, was a waste of time. For Jesus, the Son of God, who came to earth, leaving His glory above. There's no indication whatsoever that that was a waste of time, but that was exactly what He needed to be doing to bring glory to His Father in heaven. And He worked with His hands. What does the Bible say about work? It's a gift from God. He's given us hands to work with. I believe the Bible says that when it comes to work, it's something that is character building and character revealing. Our work is character building and it is character revealing. A bad character is one who is idle and lazy. You would turn to 2 Thessalonians if you can find it in time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul had to write about this to the church in Thessalonica. Rather extensively, in fact. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right." It reveals character, and it is character building. There are many Proverbs. I want you to follow along with me in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6 to begin with. Proverbs 6, verse 6. And we'll catch several of them there. There are many proverbs that talk about this contrast of what kind of character it builds and what kind of character it reveals, whether you are hardworking or whether you are lazy. In chapter 6 of Proverbs, in verse 6, it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider his ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food in harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man." Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, flip on over there. "Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth." Character building, character revealing. Chapter 12, in verse 11, "He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment." In verse 24, chapter 12, "Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor." Verse 27, "The lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions." Chapter 13, verse 4, "The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied." A contrast between the hardworking and the lazy. Character building, character revealing. Chapter 15, verse 19, says, "The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway, fast-moving place." Chapter 18, verse 9. "One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys." Chapter 19, verse 15. "Laziness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless man goes hungry." Chapter 19, verse 24. "The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He will not even bring it back to his mouth." That's pretty lazy. Chapter 20, verse 4. "A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks, but finds nothing." Verse 13, the same chapter. "Do not love sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you will have food to spare." Chapter 21, verse 25. "The sluggard's craving will be the death of him, because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing." A difference in character, a difference in attitude. Chapter 24, verse 30. It says, "I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man." And then in chapter 26, in verse 14, "As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed." Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18 says, "If a man is lazy, the rafters sag. If his hands are idle, the house leaks." Work is character building and character revealing. The lack of work, laziness, shows and reveals little character at all. You have a witness of your character when it comes to work. 1 Thessalonians 4, same place that had an issue with lazy people. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 and 12 says, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. You work hard, do what you're supposed to do, lead a quiet life, so that it might be a witness to outsiders, to win their respect. Man, that's a person of character. I want to hire them. I'd like them to do work for me. They get the job done. I can trust them. I can rely upon them. That person is honest. And that you will not be dependent on anybody else. A difference in character is shown in Jesus' parable of the talents. He gives one servant five talents. He gets out there and gets after it. And he earns five more to give to his master. And he gives the second servant two talents. And he goes out there and he gets after it. And he works hard. And he earns two more talents. And he brings it back to his master. Well done, good and faithful servant. And the third servant, he gives one talent to. And a man's lazy. Takes it and buries it. When the master comes back, he says, "Hey, I knew you were harsh and hard, and I didn't want to put myself out, and I didn't want to fail, and I didn't want to try and fall on my face. I just buried it. Here's your talent back." "You wicked servant," he said. "You wicked servant," he said. What character traits are there to be made known in a witness to others? Traits that you are hardworking, that you're honest, that you are self-controlled, that you are self-disciplined, that you are doing your best, that you're putting out a skilled, youthful product. Who wouldn't want to hear the words from God? "Well done, good and faithful servant." What does the Bible say about work? Well, it's a gift from God. We use our hands. It's character building and it's character revealing. And the fourth and last one we'll look at today is that it is work that is to be done for the Lord. Work done for the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for people." Paul writes in Ephesians 6, verse 6, "To do the will of God from your heart, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord and not men." In other words, just like we talked about sleep already, before I go to sleep, I'm going to find a place for the Lord so that even when I'm unconscious, God is Lord over my life. In the same way with work, whatever it is, the work I do, I'm going to say this is for the Lord. It's dedicated to Him. When I do this, I'm doing it because I want to please God. I want to hear the Lord Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What work do you have? Young people, your work is to learn and study in school. Maybe you can call your activities, whatever they might be, in sports or other school activities, your home chores, serving at church. These are all various ways of doing work and have an attitude of saying, "I'm going to do my best. I'm going to apply myself, and most of all, I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm working as if I'm working for the Lord." Adults, you're making a living, keeping up on your home needs, serving at the church, in every aspect, to be one who says, "I'm doing this because I'm serving the Lord." That might sound strange when you talk about work at church, but more often than not, there are people in churches that do things in the church, and they're not doing them for the Lord. They're doing them for themselves. They're doing them for themselves. So do it for the Lord, whatever it might be. Seniors might be struggling with health, all sorts of problems, but there's still avenues for work, keeping up your home needs, serving a church, praying, witnessing, being a living example of Christ in you. You see, work is not just something to do and get out of the way so that you have time to play and to have fun. And work is not just something to do and get out of the way so that you can then serve God and the Lord Jesus Christ in your very work, whether it's earning money, whether it's schoolwork, whether it's chores around the house, whatever it might be, in your very work, God wants you to glorify Him in that work. Jesus, for over 18 years, worked with His hands making things. And it was not a waste of time. It didn't make the headlines. It didn't make the Gospels. But it was work done to please His Heavenly Father. He always did what pleased His Father. In your very work, all work can be spiritual work if it is done for the Lord. In the 1500s, there was a guy named Martin Luther, led the Protestant Reformation, good things happening. Oh, a learned man, a studied man, a preacher, a leader of the church in every single way. And the account goes that one day he was out planting apple trees in his yard. And somebody came by and said, you know, they were kind of taken aback by it. It's kind of like, aren't there souls to be saved out there? What are you doing planting apple trees? They said, Martin Luther, what would you do if you knew that the Lord was going to return tomorrow? Martin Luther said, I'd plant this apple tree. I'd plant this apple tree. That's what I'm doing. I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm doing my work to please God. And that makes it righteous in itself. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for people. That's placing everything subject to God who made you, who saved you, who loves you, who lives in you through His Holy Spirit. Making everything subject to Christ. Your body, your thoughts, your words, your actions, your wealth, your time, your work. Your work. It's from God. It belongs to God. As Christ bought you with the, as God bought you with the blood of Christ, you belong to Him, not to yourself. Work for the Lord, not for man. Work pleases God because work provides for yourself and for your family. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 says, anyone who does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his own family, has disowned the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. What are you thinking? Are you thinking, I just forget about work and do something that's spiritual, religious or something? There were times in history where groups of people said, we think the Lord Jesus is going to return in this year and this month. And they sold everything they had and they went and lived out on a mountain or someplace. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. They were very disobedient to God. Very disobedient to God. Work provides for yourself, for your family, provides for the work of the church, it provides for those on the mission fields, and it provides and can provide for others. Ephesians 4:28 says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with others in need. To share with those in need. There's some very mistaken ideas when it comes to wealth and money earned. Like the Pharisees, that was an adult Sunday school lesson, counting out the little seeds, a tenth of those to give them. Woe to those Pharisees. It's easy to think in terms of saying, well, I've given my tenth to God and to the work of the church. Well, then that means the rest of it, nine-tenths of it, is mine to do whatever in the world I want to do with it. That's the wrong attitude. God has provided everything we need, even that nine-tenths. God, what do I do with that nine-tenths? Well, God says provide for your family. Yes, provide for your own. Make sure they're taken care of. Hey, maybe you can have some other left over to help others when they're in need. What about that? Well, I already gave my 10. No, all is the Lord's, and all is to glorify Him. It's better to submit it all to God. Give your first fruits. Provide for your family. Consider also setting something aside, however small it may be, so that you have something to share with somebody. In a modern way of talking about it, they came up with the phrase, random acts of kindness. Random acts of kindness. But that kind of thinking there, that I have more than enough from God, I budgeted it well to take care of the family, to give to the church, and I've got some left over. I can be free. Be free to use that to bless somebody else when they need it. In the 1700s, another great preacher in the church, John Wesley, said, earn all you can. Give all you can. Save all you can. Another time he said, do all the good you can. By all the means you can. In all the ways you can. In all the places you can. At all the times you can. To all the people you can. As long as ever you can. Work to benefit yourself, your family, and even others. But it's a matter of using your work to glorify God. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for people. Work is a gift from God. He wants you to work with your hands and find satisfaction in your work. He wants your work to be a witness to your character, to build you up in godly character and be a witness to others of godly character. And He wants your work to be an outpouring of Christ in you through His Holy Spirit, so that whatever you do, it's done to please God. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It's working for the Lord, not for people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just come before you, and you know too often that we've worked and done work without being conscious of how we should do it for you, that we've had wealth and used wealth many times for our own purposes without any intention of bringing glory to your name. Lord, draw us close to you, that all these things might be pleasing to you. How we use the wealth you give us, how we do the work that we do, that the light of Christ might shine through our lives this day and every day, for I pray it in His name. Amen.